Thank you very much. We are here to bring you the story behind the music you love and to introduce you to the men who make that music at Orchestra Hall. You'll also get to hear an informal and easy-to-understand discussion of music and its interesting personalities. And what's more, you, listening right now, have an opportunity to win two main floor tickets for a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And today, let's turn to the pages of your symphony scrapbook devoted to that coloratura instrument, the flute. And we have with us as our guest performer, Mr. Ernest Legal, principal of the flute section of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Ms. Legal, I'm sure our listeners would like to have you identify the passage you played at the beginning of this program and perhaps play some more from that composition.
Sure, Mr. Kiefer, I'll be glad to. The composition was The Dance of the Blessed Spirits from Gluck's opera, Orpheus.
Thank you very much. I believe that the flute is one of the of our oldest instruments, and I understand the shepherds in biblical times played the flute. The Indians, I understand, sang or played their love songs on the flute. Was it always a transverse instrument? That is, did they always blow across the instrument? Was it ever an end-blown instrument?
Yes, it was in the very, very ancient times.
I was interested in running across a note the other day that a related instrument is the recorder, which of course is now enjoying great popularity. Of course, that's an end-blown instrument.
Yes, sir.
Well, how old is the flute as a transverse instrument? You know, I couldn't answer that question myself.
Well, I'm afraid I can't either. I know of no records which would give one that information.
Another interesting thing to me about your instrument is that you're playing a silver flute. Most of the flutes today, I believe, are silver, aren't they?
Yes,
except
sir.
Is it in England where they always use wooden flutes?
They use wooden flutes in England, Germany, and Italy, and in other parts of Europe, of
but,
course.
But in this country, it seems to be a sort of a contradiction of terms. You play a silver instrument, and yet you're listed with the so-called woodwinds of the orchestra.
Well, I imagine that is because the flute, as it was played during Behn's time, was made of wood. But there is a very strange thing which most people are not aware of. When Behn, who invented the modern flute, first built his instrument, he built it of metal. And the French makers began building these flutes of wood.
Well, is there any difference in the tone, in the tonal quality of, say, the wooden flute as contrasted with the silver flute?
That is questionable. Personally, I think that there is a difference, but many tests have been made where flutists have been stationed behind a screen, and it was very, very difficult for those present to identify the players and their instruments. However, there is a recording of the Magic Flute, the opera, made by Beecham and the Berlin Symphony Orchestra, and with the singers. And in it, one, I think, can detect the quality of the wooden flute used. Also, one can detect the style of the player, which is quite different from that which is used in our country here and in France.
But the implication is it would take a very well-trained ear to discover the difference.
I think it would, perhaps. But some people say that they can hear the difference.
Is there any difference, say, in the upkeep of an instrument between, say, the wooden flute and the metal flute?
No, there is no difference. The only thing is that the wooden flute needs more care, I mean, to prevent cracking.
But that's what I was thinking of. Now, which brings on my next question. During this past summer season at Ravinia, we had some very humid days, and I know that the string players got terribly upset at times because of the effect of the humidity on their instrument, especially in the difficulty of intonation. Does a temperature weather condition have any effect on a metal flute?
Oh, yes. Yes, it affects the intonation, and when it is cold, the intonation goes down upon the flute, and whereas it goes up in the strings, and so therefore it is there is a wide gap at times, and it is up to the player then to make the necessary adjustment.
Well, now how do you do that on a flute? I cannot easily understand that on a on making the adjustment on strings, but how are you able to affect it on a flute where you have so many keys which control the tone? How can you make that type of adjustment?
Well, most instruments, woodwind instruments that is, are built a trifle sharp, and that gives one the opportunity of pulling the instrument out. I mean, we play with the instrument pulled out, that is the headpiece. Then, if the temperature falls, we can push the headpiece in and come up to the level of the strings. And then, of course, oftentimes, certain notes which are out of tune can be corrected with the lip.
Well, that leads to another question. In other words, playing a flute, as far as getting tone is concerned, is, say, could it be compared to taking a bottle and blowing across the mouth of the bottle and
getting the tone,
which you can vary by, say, putting some water in the bottle and having more or less water varying the tone.
Yes, sir.
But you're implying that playing a flute is something more than merely blowing air and pressing down keys.
Oh, surely.
You're referring to, say, the embouchure.
Surely.
Which is very, very important, I know. Now, is an embouchure a natural gift? Is one born to be a good flute player or not born to be a good flute player? Or is that the result of training?
Well, I think it is a bit of both. Because some people, well, I could compare it to athletics. I mean, some people are born with the agility and the muscles to make a star, and of course with proper training. And so it is with the flute. Some people excel in one thing, others in another thing.
All right, now I think I've asked you a lot of questions and you've kindly answered them. Now I think perhaps you can answer the next question by playing something from the flute repertoire for us.
Well, I shall play a cadenza to the second movement of the Boccherini Flute Concerto. This cadenza was written for me by Dr. Stock in 1937. I like this cadenza very much, and I believe it shows the the capabilities of the instrument.
About the materials out of which flutes were made, I understand there's a composition that was written for one special type of instrument, and that is the a platinum flute. And the composition is entitled Density 21.5. Have you ever run across that?
Oh, yes, yes. It's quite a famous composition for the flute, which... brings to mind that the flute was made of many, many materials. I am almost come to the conclusion that there aren't any materials of which a flute has not been made. It's even been made of the bones of...
Well, thanks ever so much, Mr. Ligo, for this very interesting demonstration of a very lovely instrument. And now we're happy to send a pair of tickets for a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra to Mr. B.P. Spong of Chicago for this anecdote. He said the world-famous tenor Crusoe hated poor singing, but he had been dragged by a friend to an amateur concert where a small hall and without proper facilities, and everyone was packed on the stage, and when called upon to sing, the people had to rise from their chairs behind the orchestra. And he said, Crusoe said, "I don't like it when they bob up like that." "But," whispered his friend soothingly, "if they didn't bob up, as you put it, they couldn't sing." "Quite," answered Caruso, starting for the exit.